This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, we got Jerry Cuts here, but there is some breaking NBA news here on the Fan. It's brought to you by Radio.com Sports, and it's brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, look at that. Luka Doncic named Western Conference Player of the Month.
Take that, Carmelo.
NBA announced it today. Kia, NBA Western Conference Player of the Month for games played in October.
He gets a Kia. November, yeah. You mean?
Yeah, month of November. Yeah. What did he do to earn it? Well, he's averaging 30 points, 9.9 rebounds, and 9.6 assists.
Oh, couldn't average
That's
a triple-double.
For the
double.
Month, he did average a triple-double.
Oh, okay. He's,
for the month, he became the third person in the history of the NBA to average a triple-double, with 30 points being part of the triple-double.
He recorded 3 40-point, 10-assist outings within a span of 6 games. He tallied a career-high 42, 12, and 11 versus San Antonio. He was just incredible all month long, and he has been recognized once again. And I tell you, I can't wait till Cowboy season is over and the other 80% of the Metroplex can recognize the greatness that's happening right here. They're just in Cowboy NFL land right now. It's football time in North Texas.
Except according to one texter on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, he said, "I'm a business owner and you're not talking enough Cowboys, and I'm going to make sure the Cowboys aren't on your station next year."
Man, I think we're talking on... If you own AT&T, you might actually have a shot at that.
I told him. I said, "Go get him, Mr. Business
Owner." Yeah, what you got up next, Dawson?
I do have some Cowboys audio for you.
To this texter.
Immediately. Dude. Hey, and if you're a business owner, we'd love to talk to you here at 105 Through the Fan. Maybe get a... I need a Studio G sponsor. You know what I'm saying? I need somebody to write a big old check. Build me a better Studio G in the attic.
Intercom would take that money.
Yeah, they could keep the money. Just build me the studio in the attic.
Okay. Intercom got the 360 deals going. They want a little piece of everything.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, because if you couldn't tell, yesterday and Friday, I was pretty furious with the Cowboys and their lack of effort.
I could tell.
And their sleepwalking through the season.
Yeah.
And you know what I thought about is, when it came to 1989, and that was when Jimmy Johnson came in and Jerry Jones bought the team, is they had to earn our respect in Dallas. So every team... for the Dallas Cowboys until 1992-ish, and really that team earned our respect. So I went to the games for free. In 1986, 87, 88, 89, and 1990, they could barely sell out a game at Texas Stadium. In fact, there would be years where they never sold out one game at Texas Stadium because it was so bad. Even with Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, that first 2 years, they didn't sell out games, and Jerry...
it was horrible football.
Fraudulently sold out games. And I don't say he just bought up all the tickets and gave them out for a dollar to make sure it was sold out so we could watch them on TV.
Who would
when
ever
their home games
claim a sellout that wasn't a sellout?
But they had to earn us talking about them. And I know there wasn't sports talk radio really back then. I know, Norm and Galloway and stuff were doing it, but there wasn't like sports talk stations.
They were like the night show on a news station, right?
Yeah, so you had to earn, the Cowboys had to earn us paying attention to them, just like today the Rangers do and the Mavericks do and the Stars do. And then, to Jerry's credit, after the three championships, 92, 93, and 95, the Cowboys don't have to earn our eyes anymore. They don't have to earn our attention. They get 1,000,000% of our attention no matter what. And so that's what kind of frustrates me, is these guys, the Cowboys, they know that they don't have to earn our attention or anything, because they have 1,000% of it at all times, no matter what.
Well, I think Luka's going to steal quite a bit of the spotlight once this run is over from January to June. But to your point, we'll still be talking plenty of Cowboys draft.
It is what it is. It's the way the world has gone. But it's just the Cowboys get sellouts no matter what. They get 1,000,000 eyes on them no matter what. And they know, I don't have to go out and sign autographs. I don't have to be on time to anything. I can just be a Dallas Cowboy, and people will just crave, me, because I get to wear a star on my helmet.
It'd be really interesting what would happen if they went on a pathetic run, Detroit Lions or Cleveland Browns at their worst type of 5-11, 4-12, 3-13, and the Redskins fans have kind of given up on them. Would that happen around the Cowboys? And I guess that's added value for Jason Garrett, right? Because Garrett does coach in an 8-8 way. He allows stability that is conducive to at least being average.
100%.
Okay, how about cut number 8 here? Let's get into some of this Jerry Jones content. It says, does Jason have a bar he needs to reach to save his job? Here's Jerry.
Because there is no bar. When I say that, I don't mean that there's not a level of a point where it's I determine it's just not working, or I determine that it's working. But there's many things, and there's boxes to be checked. There's a positive. Anybody that does it just good, check a lot of positive boxes when you start looking at coaches and the aptitude and the quality of coach. They're mistaken. He's got a tremendous list of things that he's about.
Okay, a pretty good endorsement there from Jerry, and I believe he just told us he's going to go with his gut. You know, maybe he wants to take the attention off of the ultimatum that it sounded like he laid out on TV last week.
See, when we get through everything that he said, I believe that he reiterated that Jason Garrett basically needs to win the Super Bowl. That's what I heard.
Oh, that's the checked boxes he's alluding to?
That's what I heard this morning. That and other cuts. I'll let you get through all the ones that you're going to play because I don't want to step on anything. But to me, I heard Jason Garrett needs to win the Super Bowl.
All right. Okay.
That's what I heard.
Here's number 9. Jerry says he believes Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next season.
When I look at coaching, and it's not just the head coach, I look at all coaches. I think about there's no exclusive. Nobody's got the exclusive skills to get the job done so that collectively you can win a Super Bowl. But they're qualified people. Jason Garrett is one of them. In my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
That's not an endorsement.
Okay, yes.
That's an endorsement for the Giants or the Panthers job for Jason.
Yeah, you know, I did not take that in any way to mean that it's more likely Garrett's going to be back with the Cowboys.
No, because, okay, so at different times with Sean and RJ, I heard him talk about how we are as healthy as anyone in the NFL right now.
Yes.
We are as skilled as anyone in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
So I totally believe that over these next 4 weeks, we're going to get it going and go on a run. And he mentioned we can win the tournament. He mentioned all these things. Mm-hmm. So right now what he's saying is, I believe Jason Garrett is capable of winning a Super Bowl. I believe that. I believe we're as healthy as anybody. I believe we're as skilled as anybody, and we can win this whole thing. So that's your bar, Jason.
Yeah.
You do not have injury excuses. You do not have talent excuses. And he's saying you're a good enough coach to do this. So if it doesn't happen, well, the health was there. The skill was there. I must have been wrong about the coach being able to do it.
It's really interesting how he can walk in the middle of that ambiguity so well, right? Because he's giving a vote of confidence, but he's also creating almost criteria for why he could be let go, even though he believes in him so much. Okay, then have you given up on the possibility of a deep playoff run? Here's more from Jerry.
If I thought that we just didn't have the personnel, if I thought that we didn't have the right philosophy there, and that we were far off, then you might be hearing, you would be hearing something different, and you would be seeing a different thought. But as we've got a month here, we're in business. We're open for business. We can get in here and make these tweaks, or we can have a ball go right for us at the right time through basically a little more awareness with a D-back, a linebacker, and this story can change for us.
Yeah, I do believe the story can change, and I do think health is a major reason to only have missed Connor Williams and Leighton Vander Esch and not be better off. That's pretty embarrassing, I think, for the team.
I would say I'm probably wrong on this because I can't remember every interview Jerry Jones has done since 1989, but I'm pretty sure he said we were a championship team with Clint Sterner at quarterback, with Chad Hutchinson at quarterback, and Drew Henson and Quincy Carter. Like, I hear that he said, guys, if I didn't think we were good enough, you'd be hearing a different story. I feel like I've heard Jerry Jones' story for his whole life, and no matter where the Cowboys are at, they're a championship contender until they're not a championship contender, as in they're not making the playoffs because they've been eliminated or they are eliminated from the playoffs. I don't think I've ever heard Jerry, because he's such a great salesman, ever say, you know what, I just don't think we have the talent this year and we're going to develop this year and try to get better. Like, he's never said that.
No, dude is mad.
No, especially not going in. I think at some points, like when the team got hurt a bunch, I don't know if it was 2012 or 2013, or when Romo was out And at some point, you know, when they were like 4-8, he would acknowledge, listen, we're fighting an uphill battle here on a couple of different fronts. But as long as they had the quarterback that they planned to start the season with and they were anywhere close to 500, it was all optimism. And he even talked about his level of optimism here. It's cut number 4, Lucius. Another great job by Sean and RJ this morning on your Home of the Cowboys, talking with the owner and general manager. He does it every Tuesday at 8:30. How do you look at your level of optimism for the team and how it affects things?
Where I think I get criticized sometimes is that my anticipation of our success is not as realistic as someone might think it should be as general manager. And of course, I disagree with that. I understand when we've got a big uphill. I started this show off by saying we've got good health this time of year. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. We've got 4 games, 2 at home, 2 away. We've got a chance to get in the tournament and be playing well. I look at where we are with our skill set and look at other teams where they are with theirs. And there's nothing that in my mind that jumps out at me that we can't be playing well enough to take it to the house. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I see it.
I think his optimism is very logical. You know, and I think he should really, really examine the last decade and why this team has consistently not reached its expectations. They've had a championship window open for 6 seasons and haven't done more. So
I think he's there. I think that's what quotes like that are about. Where he's saying, I think we can take it to the house.
Yeah.
He's reiterating that we have the players, we have the talent, we're not hurt, we can do this.
Yeah.
Because he knows that 4 weeks from now, probably 5 weeks from now, because I do think they'll win the East, that he'll have to turn around and be like, we're bringing in a new coach because we were healthy and we had the talent and we didn't get it done.
I like it. That's good analysis, Jeff.
Thank you, Gavin.
So it brings up then the topic with 4 games to go. That's clearly enough time to turn a season around. You know what I think about, Mike, is the Mets team that you played on. There were expectations, there were talent, and at some point things broke bad for that team, and it's like no matter how bad the primary players wanted to pull out of it, like the negative momentum starts you on a slide, and you can try to fight your way out of it, but something weird and intangible happened to your team to completely rob it, and then it starts to play way worse than what it should
be. Yeah, it's very hard when you establish for over half a season that you're not really going to sacrifice and give everything you can to yourself, to your teammates, to your coaches, that with a month left in the season, you're like, you know what we're going to do? We're now going to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it happens. Maybe Michael Bennett woke up the room. Maybe he did such a great job in that he woke up everybody from their malaise of actually there is a season going on this year that the Cowboys haven't seemed to be interested in playing in. Maybe that speech does it. And I will give all the credit in the world. If this thing turns around, if they win a playoff game, I'll give all the credit to Michael Bennett. I'd say without trading for Michael Bennett and without him stepping up, the one person to step up and say, get your heads out of your asses, then nothing would have changed. They would have just sleptwalked through this whole thing and then just gotten killed in the playoffs. That's what I'm still expecting them to get killed in the first round. But if they don't, my credit will go to Michael Bennett waking the team up.
Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and how good are they is such a fun topic right now because the way that they're constructed, they should be premium, but the way they're playing is very mediocre, especially over the last 9 games. Are you kidding me? 3-6. That's just unbelievable. But I saw something on Cowboys Twitter here at the last break. It's from that group, that outfit, Number Fire, which is a branch off of ESPN, and they just focus on the numbers.
Don't you say it. Don't do it.
The Ravens are the number one team when it comes to efficiency. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys and the NFL, when it just comes to how efficient they are on a per-play basis, they're number 4.
6-6.
Just unbelievable how it's not adding up.
Yep.
Red zone, they're middle of the pack, so they move it, like Jeff said. They get a lot of yards. They have to get all the way to the red zone, which they do a pretty good job of, one of the best. They go from the 20-yard line to the 15, a lot of yards. So that gives us the stat of, man, they are unbelievable. And then they get to the red zone and they get conservative or they can't punch it in. Something happens and then we miss a field goal.
Can't finish. Yeah, that field goal kicker thing is crazy, man. I can't believe they've been so cavalier about it.
Like it's no big deal.
What are you talking about? It would make 7 out of 10.
And like that article a couple weeks ago, if you would just as a coach go, we don't have a field goal kicker.
Yeah.
and play it. Play every drive as we don't have a field goal kicker.
Yeah.
But they actually played as we have the best field goal kicker that God has ever created on this earth. And if we're 65 out, then maybe we should do it. And I've been thinking, I make this joke, but maybe it's for real. If we have like a 42-yarder, should we take 2 to 3 delay of games to get it to 57 yards to give them a chance?
No.
Okay, good stuff.
But I like it.
Indeed, G-Bag Nation. Coming up next, we'll have more sports content for you. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Mike Fisher has the day off. He'll rejoin us tomorrow. Segment's brought to you by McShann Florist and by Mark Rubin at 800 Lawyers. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more Fan listeners do every day. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 800 Lawyers. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Okay, Cowboys-related stuff. We'll tell you about a couple of surprise entries into the practice report. But before we get there, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, on the idea of Lincoln Riley being a lead candidate to be the head coach of the Cowboys.
Jason Garrett is not getting fired midseason, that much we know, but it is obvious. His job is very much in doubt with the Dallas Cowboys. He needs to win the division, and keep winning into the playoffs. But a name you're going to hear a lot over the next couple weeks and the next couple months, Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley, considered to be a potential replacement for Jason Garrett if he gets fired. Here is why. The Jones family already has a close relationship with Lincoln Riley. It centers around John Stephen, who is Jerry Jones's grandson, who was at the time a high school quarterback, very highly touted quarterback. Lincoln Riley did an in-home visit with the Joneses. At that point, they realized how brilliant he was. They watched film together. It went extremely well. And then Stephen Jones and his son actually took a visit to Oklahoma as well. Oklahoma tried to get him to walk on. It didn't happen, but that was the genesis of this relationship. And when the Jones family realized something special about Lincoln Riley, he loves Oklahoma, but as one person close to him said, you know, Rich, it's the Cowboys.
Yes, it is the Cowboys. But, I mean, he's Boomer Sooner through and through. I don't know. I would be surprised if Lincoln Riley happens. I think, you know, they make a good point there, Ian Rappaport does, about why the Cowboys would be highly interested. But even if I'm the Cowboys, there's been plenty of college guys that have taken just one little step up and failed. Tom Herman, you know, there's plenty of Lincoln Rileys in football history that moved up and failed. And I just wouldn't look at him as any sort of guarantee that our offense would be humming in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess I think the reason that a lot of college coaches have failed is because the dynamic is so much different. And the newest trend, I think, of hiring college guys is going to be, hey, Cliff Kingsbury wasn't a very good college coach as a head coach. But when you just called him the head coach to bring his offense to the NFL, the record's not good, but that team's played pretty well given what their roster is. And so I think if you're bringing in a guy who, what I'm really bringing you in for is maximize my quarterback. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to either have Chris Richard do that on defense, or we're going to bring in Ron Rivera and he'll do the defense. Your job is to bring your offense to my team, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder if you're somebody who wants Lincoln Riley to coach the Cowboys, do you need to be cheering against them in college right now? Because when you get to the playoff, that's more time when you get towards an offseason when teams are figuring out their coaching. And you've got a guy who's like, hey, I have a game to prepare for. So, like, I can't do this until my season's over.
Huh.
And so you're watching coaches go off the board like, well, wait, but are you going to?
Yeah.
So.
At that point, you're relying on that relationship, right?
Because
you have to make a call man to man. There can't be any potential leaks in this pipe of information.
I will be shocked if Lincoln Riley is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I think I've taken him at his word when he was on, was it the Pat? He was on Dan Patrick, right?
Okay.
A month ago or so, and was like, look, people think that because a player's goal is to go from high school to college to the pros, that it has to be
he
a
doesn't
coach's
look at
goal
it as a
too.
Stepping stone.
Yeah, and so I don't think so. And then I also don't think that's a close relationship.
Just having one afternoon.
The fact that they had a recruiting visit.
He recruited my son and said, hey, you want to walk on here? And I get it, because he's a billionaire dad. So it's like, hey, you know, there's other kids that could use this. And, you know, you obviously a scholarship means nothing to you guys as in like financially. So I get that there are probably a lot of teams recruiting John Stephen, knowing he was a good quarterback, but saying, hey, you guys don't need this scholarship. It doesn't mean we don't need you.
Yeah.
But that's not a close relationship
to Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones. No,
but you need to, if you're the Cowboys, what you should expect as a Cowboy fan is, and this goes to Jerry mentioned this with Sean and RJ this morning, the check that I'd be willing to write to win a Super Bowl. And he's like, well, whoever I bring in doesn't guarantee me that I win a Super Bowl. Whatever coach you think gives you the best chance to win a Super Bowl, you should be expected to absolutely money whip that person.
Yeah.
And the rest of the owner's going to get mad at you. Like, oh, no, the coaching market changed. Well, you say you'll pay whatever it takes. Pay whatever it takes. If your goal is Lincoln Riley, I bet you he doesn't say no to $20-something million a year, no matter how much he likes Norman, Oklahoma.
There you go, Jeff.
If you want Sean Payton, I bet the Saints don't turn down 2 first-round picks.
Write that check.
If you really want the best head coach that you can find, like,
put your money where your mouth is.
That should be the expectation.
I like that. That's a strong take.
If you've gone a whole decade and people let you make it, you stood by your guy and people let you make it.
Yeah.
When it becomes abundantly clear that the guy you wanted to be good enough wasn't good enough, find the absolute best candidate and just do what it takes.
That's a good point. What Mike said is a good point about the relationship. I do want to believe, you know, that Lincoln Riley impressed them in a way when they were when he was talking with John Stephen. They were like, holy cow, you know. And what Lincoln Riley would be doing would be the opposite of the Jason Garrett principles that he's been running across the table at them for the last 10 years on those Monday meetings, right? So they're sitting here thinking, wow, this is totally opposite. So
that's, you know, the thing that impressed them after listening to Jason Garrett for, at that point, 8 years. They're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So this is another way to talk about offense?
Yes. And so with that in their head, fresh off the recruiting, Linehan fails. Garrett is not elevated because we don't want to go back to that. Lincoln Riley just spelled out all this awesomeness. So Kellen Moore hired because we need that college thing. And then you go through this season, and now they're thinking, holy crap, if we're going in this direction, we need a head coach that can help Kellen Moore instead of try to row the boat in a different direction. I think that's logical. Is that the exact way it happened? I don't know. But I like to think that. And so going into this offseason, they'd be like, okay, we tried to keep Garrett and get some of this. Now we need to go more fully in this direction with a head coach that understands all that stuff that Lincoln Riley blew us away with.
And you might have to clean house. Realistically, that might be what you have to do. Because, like, okay, let's just go far-fetched for a second and just pretend that Lincoln Riley accepts the job. Don't just saddle the guy with whatever you have around him and be like, all right, and this is your staff. Like, wait, you brought me here because you think I'm the best candidate to win football games. So I'll find a staff, and then we'll go try to win football games. And that's going to be the challenging part for Jerry Jones at age 77. Can you do that part? Whoever you bring in, can you bring them in and tell them you don't have to keep anybody?
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
That's pathetic to think. And I'm sorry, Jerry, if you're listening. It's weird. Pathetic's not the right word. But it doesn't make sense to me that at 75 years old, you could say, I have a better idea of who's going to be a good assistant for you than you, who've had boots on the ground.
Right.
80 hours a week.
Right. That's something that has to change. If and when they get a new head coach, that person needs the autonomy to decide who is going to work for him. If not, then maybe neutered is too strong, but you're not giving him your best chance to win because you're telling him, hey, you don't have the full ability to do your job. I'm going to do part of it.
And it's sending an organizational-wide message the day you hire him that he's really not daddy still. Okay, Sean Lee, DNP, non-injury. Tony Pollard, DNP, ankle. He was not on yesterday's injury report, so it looked like he tweaked his ankle today.
Okay.
Which is music to Jason Garrett's ears. Zero carries. Right on.
Yeah.
And then Randall Cobb went from DNP with his illness. He was just a little limited today, still feeling a little bit under the weather. But all in all, pretty good.
From the 214, hey, do you guys think there's any chance Tom Brady retires this year?
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
Okay.
It's very small.
Two different texts in a span of 30 seconds asking about Bill Belichick. If Tom Brady retires, write the check.
Yeah.
Your buddy Robert Kraft, tell him, hey, Robert, I'm really sorry. I know we're besties. I know we're pals.
Well, you're gonna not have really.
To, well, yeah, okay. That's
the
fair
Jimmy
point.
Garoppolo thing broke them up pretty good.
All right, we're not besties.
No.
So if you want to keep your coach, he has an offer on the table for $25 million a year. That's what you're going to do.
You think Jerry's going to let Belichick cook, though, without meddling?
No.
I think.
No disrespect to Jerry. I say that respectfully.
I'm with Lucius.
I get it. I say 100%. That I get it. Yeah. I'm the most blindly optimistic person here. He was desperate enough to do it with Bill. If he's desperate to win, he'll let a guy cook.
All right, how about that?
He let Bill cook because he was desperate.
Well, he'd probably come up with some line that there's just no way we could do it if it wasn't for my input, you know? Or there's no way we're going to try to do it without my input because I'm going to be the guy saying, yeah.
That is the biggest sign of the organizational, whatever level of dysfunction you want to call it, is that Jerry has the title of general manager without doing the job.
Yeah.
That's solely Jerry, if you're listening, I don't mean this as an insult, but that's 100% ego.
Yeah.
Like all that is now it will be that I built the team because I'm the GM. Like yeah. Will McClay and them do the scouting and the drafting. Steven and the money guys decide on the contracts, but I'm going to hold this title so that people say Jerry Jones was the GM. It's only ego, mm-hmm. and that's a problem.
And he says that respectfully.
Respectfully.
Yeah, totally.
Respectfully.
And not to be trite.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you names. I'm just saying that there is no other explanation for you holding that title than your ego wants to hold that title.
I can't believe you would say that,
I'm just saying.
Okay, it is the home of the Cowboys here, 105 through the fan. Big game coming up. We'll be getting into the pregame in 48 hours and 28 minutes. Cowboys, Bears, Thursday night. Jeff, why don't you give us a glimpse of what's going on with Chicago?
Okay, I want to talk about very quickly.
You need to fill 4 minutes at least.
Oh, okay, I'll fill 4 minutes then. One of the matchups against the Chicago Bears, we're going to take a break from firing the coach if you guys out there don't mind. One of the matchups for the Chicago Bears that I don't like against the Cowboys is Allen Robinson. I think over the last, how long has he been in the league? If Allen Robinson hadn't played with the quarterbacks that he's played with, he'd be talked about as one of the best receivers in football.
He's got skills.
You look back at, okay, so Jacksonville, it was Blake Bortles, and now it's Mitch Trubisky. And like when he's healthy, he can give you, with Bortles, I believe it was Bortles at this point, 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. That might have been pre-Bortles. But anyway, bad quarterback play. And he's one of those dudes that if you cover it pretty well, you're just going to – it's like the NFL's version of getting dunked on. You will get mossed by Allen Robinson left and right. Like, he's awesome. And
– going to need Byron Jones for that matchup, right?
When he lines up on the right, the offense is right, and goes against Cheeto, I hate that matchup for the Cowboys. I don't like that at all. I worry about how that looks if you go down the field. And their offense hasn't been good on the whole this year, but Trubisky was good last week. And Allen Robinson's good. Anthony Miller is a young guy that's really been coming along for them. He's good. I worry about Cheeto's ability because his problem is just finishing plays. Covering is not a problem. He can cover. He can cover really well. But you put the ball in the air and you let the receiver track it and go get it, and Cheeto's over here trying to get through his hands or not find the ball and not make a play on it. And Allen Robinson's the type of dude that's going to make a play on that ball 99 times out of 100. I hate that matchup for the Cowboys. And they rarely do this. But I would encourage them this week. You nailed it right off the bat. Byron, you go where he goes.
Get him.
My full-size corner is going to go play this guy. And like the play that Byron made last week, you remember deep down the sideline and he went up and he batted it away. Yeah. Overall, that's a good play. For an elite corner, you locate the ball, you go up and you catch it. You go up with two hands. He played it well. He found the ball. He went up and he batted it away, incomplete, and that's fine. That's good defense. And that's the sort of guy that you need on somebody like Allen Robinson. I need somebody who can physical with him. I need somebody who can get 10.5 feet in the air while locating the ball and not let him come down with it. I need somebody that can jam him up at the line of scrimmage and be athletic enough to make a play on a slant. And so that's a matchup that I worry about with Cowboys Bears is Allen Robinson. If they line him up on the right and Byron Jones is not following him, I think you could have some deep, deep, deep doo-doo coming from Allen Robinson.
I like that matchup. I like that preview, and it would be horrifying to see Trubisky throw for 300 yards. But unfortunately, you know, we saw what's-his-name with the Jets. Oh, yeah, he came back, Darnold, to Anderson. You know, those things are just hanging in the back of your mind whenever you're watching a Cowboys game. Like, please don't let this be the moment that Cheeto's all over SportsCenter. And too often it's been that. Okay, we have some really exciting Rangers topics to talk about as the baseball winter meetings are going on and reports are surfacing. Mikey B's taking center stage with your Nuggets coming up next. And where are we going, Mike?
Well, I talked to some people in D.C. today and have more on Anthony Rendon to the Texas Rangers.
Oh, it's official. Well,
no.
We'll see.
It's official. There's a good rumor.
Yeah, we'll see.
And reports.
Dallas Truck World offers you peace of mind shopping on pre-owned vehicles with their 7-day return policy, y'all. Check out DallasTruckWorld.com.
Welcome back, Nation. Salute to you. It's time for some baseball nuggets. Luka Doncic wins NBA Western Conference Player of the Month. that news has been developing. Let's talk some very exciting baseball news with Mikey B.
Yeah, first, hey, also go to at Jared Sandler on Twitter, and you can go to 1053thefan.com, and you can click on the link to have. There's so many great auction items with so many unbelievable autographs and everything and experiences. You can have dinner with us at Bob Steak and Chop House. And a lot of other things, and bid on that bay. We're at $1,000 right now.
Yeah, $1,000 salute to Jonathan Davis, who called in last hour. You can call Lucius right now and beat $1,000. She'll be playing top golf with us for up to 4 hours.
Well, that'll be the Rangers' goal, is to call Anthony Rendon's agent, Scott Boras, and keep beating the offer.
Yeah.
And see if they can be the last one that gets Anthony Rendon. Now, there have been multiple reports this morning. One here I'm reading from Buster Olney and other people that have written this, that they've talked to MLB executives, and they think, I've just found this, you asked this question to start the show, Gavin, and I kind of have the answer. They think Anthony Rendon's going to be the first signing. So don't expect it to be 2020. Sweet. At least right now, rumors can change, right? I can remember the last couple years, rumors are hot and heavy before the winter meetings. Nothing happens at the winter meetings. Then we get to Christmas and nothing's really happened. And then we get to mid-January and things start to get in play. And I don't know if that's going to be the case again this year, but the last couple of years have said nothing happens till mid-January. But at least with this Anthony Rendon stuff of Bob Nightingale last night reporting that the Rangers might be the front runners, or are the front runners, however you want to take it. I kind of don't want to overdo it with the Rangers. That I think a lot of people over the last 12 hours have now put their mind on, okay, now that we have Anthony Rendon,
do that.
What do we do next? But I also, clicking on Anthony Rendon's name right now, if you Google it, it'll say, hey, the Dodgers have just met with Anthony Rendon too. So he's taking all of his meetings because it looks like Anthony Rendon wants to sign quickly, doesn't want to drag this out until mid-January or early February. Now,
so sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Is he a true superstar? Like, where do you rank him amongst the best position players in the game?
He might be right now the best third baseman in the game. And that's saying a lot, because I would have said before last year, I would have put Nolan Arenado up there. I think Chapman for the Oakland Athletics is very high up there.
Bregman.
But after what he just did, Bregman's way up there, he just led a team to the championship. You can't, as a baseball player, it's not basketball. If Luka wins a championship, Luka literally did most of the work to win a championship.
His OPS was over 1,000
last year. So he is the best third baseman, not only just on the market as a free agent, but he's the best third baseman in the game. He just proved it by leading a team to the World Series championship. And as Lucius said earlier, he came up in big situations and kept coming up big for the Washington Nationals throughout the playoffs. Now, let's get to what I kind of learned about Anthony Rendon calling this morning, because after the World Series, making a few texts here and there to people I know in D.C. that cover the team, they were kind of like, no, I mean, we're going to keep Anthony Rendon. We're going to keep Steven Strasburg. We just won the World Series. It's going to be kept. I mean, the Lerners are, they're the people that own the Nationals. They're so excited and giddy. Like, they're going to do everything possible to keep this thing together to make another run at this. And now I get to today and wanted to kind of follow up after the Bob Nightingale report. And they're like, man, we're kind of concerned. In fact, we are concerned about the Texas Rangers, because Anthony Rendon is a little bit of a different guy. And so this is going to sound weird, because he just led a team to the World Series. Winning might not mean everything to Anthony Rendon.
Perfect.
So he's not going to look at the free agent market and say, I want to go to the team that has the best chance to win the World Series next year. So that's a good thing for the Tech. As weird as that sound, that's a good thing for the Rangers. So while the Dodgers are recruiting him hard, while the Nationals would like to have him back, we might not be at a disadvantage that the Nationals and Dodgers have a much better chance at winning the World Series in the next couple years than the Texas Rangers, because he loves playing baseball. He does not love talking to the media. He doesn't like talking about himself. He just likes playing the game of baseball and then eating food, showering, and going home, and then getting ready for the next day to play baseball. And baseball isn't everything in his life, because he'd also like to retire within 4 to 6 years.
Oh, bam. He just needs to get on a little closer to home then.
And that's one of the things, is that if the Astros were available and the Astros wanted him, then they say it would almost be a sure thing that he would sign with the Astros. But it's impossible. You just mentioned Alex Bregman is arguably the best third baseman in the game, along with Rendon. And you have Carlos Correa at shortstop. So they can't.
Yeah.
I don't think the Astros can add that money anyways at this point, how much money they're about to have to stack up on their team that they already have stacked up, because they could trade Carlos Correa,
sure,
move Alex Bregman to shortstop, who would be a good shortstop defensively and unbelievable shortstop offensively, and open up the spot for Anthony Rendon. But they're just not into doing all of that to just have the possibility of signing Anthony Rendon. Anthony Rendon might take less of a contract than a 7-year contract. He's one of these weird guys here. Now, it'll be tough because Scott Boras is his agent. So it's going to be tough to say, hey, Scott, I want less money. So if somebody does come in with an awesome 7-year offer, Scott Boras is going to sway him towards the biggest offer with the biggest dollars. But Anthony Rendon might just want to play 5 or 6 more years and that's it. Probably this contract, dude, from what I understand, this contract is it for him. After this contract is over, he's retiring from baseball.
That's music to my ears, because as we've talked about him, I've assumed it's going to be such a long-term deal. I don't want to be struggling in Shinsu Chu land, right? Yeah. 35, 36, 37, if he would have done an 8-year deal.
Yeah.
But if he just wants 5 or 6 years, and it's not all the way to $40 million, I think it could be a great fit here.
Yeah.
And that's maybe that's why the Rangers are being talked about as a really a favorite to sign this guy.
Yeah, and maybe it ends up being the case and the Rangers do get the best player on the market and a top 10 player in the game. The one thing about superstar, Gavin, is, and KNC had this question to me, and it's a good question. How much will Anthony Rendon drive ticket sales? Because if you sign Bryce Harper was the kind of the selling point of the Washington Nationals, but everybody knew that we're part of the Nationals and close that Anthony Rendon's the best player. Hmm. It's that Bryce Harper is really the guy who people get all excited about and want to buy his jersey and want to, you know, because he's flamboyant and he attracts people. And so they're like, yes, he does all those things, but Anthony Rendon's our best player. So that's where I think it's a little bit tough. If we sign Anthony Rendon, the Texas Rangers, yes, I believe ticket sales will go up. I think people will call and go, my gosh, we just got the best player on the team that won the World Series. But he's not a guy that you can stick in front of the camera and give the microphone to, and he's going to be the face of a franchise. He's going to play baseball for you and play at a very high level. But he's not going to be like Michael Young, or he's not going to be like Ryan Zimmerman, and he's not going to be as exciting with quotes as a Bryce Harper is going to be. So I don't know exactly how much he will improve ticket sales. I do know that he will improve ticket sales.
Oh, yeah. And you talk about, you know, now making a statement going into a new ballpark, him and the pitcher. You're already close now. Yeah. You're a trade or something away from really being a factor.
And then somebody asked us, this was a good Autoflex Leasing fan text, and I responded to it. It was earlier, but they're like, Mike, weren't you saying yesterday you were talking about Miguel Andujar and that the Rangers were somewhat out on Anthony Rendon because of the price tag? Yes, I did. All I can do is go to MLBTradeRumors.com and start clicking on things and read all kinds of things. And an article came up from somebody that I respect that said, hey, the Rangers probably are out on the Anthony Rendon deal because of how much it's going to cost. So I reported that. I didn't make it up. I just had to report it. And then we get Bob Nightingale last night reporting that the Rangers could be the front runners to land Anthony Rendon, and now we're getting from people like Buster Olney that he will probably be the first big guy to sign and wants to sign somewhat quickly. So I'm just assuming that maybe at the winter meetings he wants to be done with this, that Anthony Rendon would like to be done. And winning doesn't mean everything to him.
Wow.
Being close to home could mean more than being on a winning franchise.
You know, last year at the Super Bowl, it was disappointing that the Cowboys weren't there, but we got the Porzingis trade. Maybe late this football season we could get some amazing news on Anthony Rendon. Now, how many other teams? You said the Dodgers are meeting with him. How many other teams would legitimately be competing with the Rangers?
The Nationals are super interested and are offering him a lot of money. The problem with that is he doesn't want any deferred money. So the Nationals have worked on these contracts with Scherzer and Patrick Corbin recently, and Strasburg just opted out of his contract, and I don't know exactly all the contracts they've done, but from what I got, the Nationals are able to sign these big-time free agents to big-time contracts because they like deferring a lot of the money. So they will pay it out over, if you sign a 7-year contract, we'll pay it out over 12 years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of players are okay with that because they're getting a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
And then they can hopefully sign another contract later in their career while they're still getting paid money.
Yeah.
But Anthony Rendon doesn't want anything to do with that. He wants to make all his money on the contract when the contract is, and then when it's over, it's over.
Man, I'd love the deferred money because it's like bad financial advisor proof, right? It's major accident proof. Right. It's, holy crap, I really mismanaged all that money, and now I'm broke proof.
Yeah. And I'm not saying how smart he is. I don't know how smart he is. He did go to Rice, which is considered somewhat of an Ivy League.
But you can be totally smart and still unfortunately get scammed or something.
Right, but I'm just saying, if Anthony Rendon is saying, I don't want any deferred money.
Sure.
Maybe he feels like he's great with his money.
Probably.
And doesn't want to defer it. Where a lot of people would say, you don't defer money. You take it yourself because you can make more money.
Yeah. The learners are probably great investors. They're like, man, if we could keep this $40 million bucks over a 10-year period, we'll turn it in and then we're not paying as much. By the way, did you see, speaking of Bob Nightingale, he tweeted about 15 minutes ago, the White Sox are willing to go 5-100+ for Zach Wheeler.
I did see that. And in the article, the Texas Rangers are mentioned as a candidate to get Zach Wheeler. So to me, Jeff, you brought this up earlier. Anthony Rendon, if this happens, that would be freaking amazing that you got the best player possibly in the National League.
It'd be bigger than our We Got Porzingis party.
You would be getting an MVP guy right now who just led a team to a championship the year before. And then I would say, at that point, if you were to get Zach Wheeler, you would win the offseason. I don't know what that means, as in how many games you're going to win next year. But you would have won. Now, Kyle Gibson's already on the team. That would be a solid number four starter. But Zach Wheeler, I think at the end of the day, I bet he's going to get 5 years and $120 million because there's too many teams that really want him. And he's in that range where Gerrit Cole is in the range of possibly $35 million a year. And Steven Strasburg's probably just under that range that you're going to have to pay over $30 million a year. So if you're looking at around $22 to $24 million a year, that seems probably more doable for a lot of teams, including the Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So then Zach Wheeler falls into this category where everybody's like, we can't afford Strasburg or Gerrit Cole. There's a few teams that can, but we can give up to $25 million. And who's just sitting there waiting for $25 million per year? Zach Wheeler. And
Alrighty.
Zach Wheeler would probably be your best pitcher if you signed him.
Awesome. Hey, that'd be a good staff right there.
What,
1-4, super solid, plus a kid at number 5.
How great would it be if they were just waiting for the stadium, and now that they got it, they're like, by the way, we're spending up to the luxury tax. Here's Rendon and Wheeler and Gibson. Let's get it.
We've just been saving for this moment. Yeah, that would be an awesome presser.
You could possibly then make trades. I'm not saying it would be smarter or dumb, but you could then go to the Red Sox and the Cubs and say, all right, we got these guys, and we didn't have to give up any prospects to get them. We just gave up money. Now we're willing to give up prospects because you guys need to unload money
with
good players.
That would be awesome. Do it, Rangers. I will never talk bad about you again, JD, if you pull that off.
I don't believe that either.
You shouldn't believe that either. Okay.
Hey, we have a new high bid, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's a guy named Justin. He didn't want to give his last name. He said he played golf with Jeff, and he only wears flip-flops.
Yeah, he shot par in flip-flops.
Yeah.
He can golf pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
What's must be bid? Retired.
1,100.
$1,100.
Get on there to 105 through thefan.com for Jared's deal there.
No, you call in and make your bid at 877-881-1053 if you want to be in our bay for Jared's charity event.
If it gets
at
up
Top
to 2,000, I'll sign an autograph for you.
For Jared's deal.
Jared's deal. Gavin keeps them to a website where they can't bid.
But 105thefan.com/Sandlot does have a ton of other items that you can bid on.
Indeed.
This golf bay you call Lucius.
Yes.
I got it straight now. Okay. Is there a clear choice who you'd rather host on Wild Card Weekend? Is it Seattle or is it San Fran? There is an obvious answer. We'll tell you why coming up next in Cowboys Twitter.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.